Well, good morning, Metropolitan. It's good to see you here. And to all the mothers in the audience, happy Mother's Day. If you would, please stand. Let's turn in our hymn books to page 258. 258. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing the first, second, and last.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
On the last,
it tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Amen.
Do you love Jesus? Amen. I thought that should have been a little louder than that, but we'll take it. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. It's good to see all of you here today. We welcome all our mothers and wish you a wonderful day. And we're going to try to help that along a little bit. We have some gifts for you as you leave the day. So please, we'll have some help in the foyer to make sure you get your parting gift as you leave today. And we have some visitors with us. We're thankful for each one of those that the Lord sent our way. And what we want to do right now is take the time to welcome each other, shake some hands and say hello, and make sure church family get around and welcome our visitors. Let's do that right now.
All right, Metropolitan, if you would remain standing, let's turn to 223. 223, draw me nearer.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
On the last.
There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are depths of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
You can be seated. Stand with us once more. Let's turn to 341. 341.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch. sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
On the last,
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. You can be seated.
Well, before Brother Curtis comes to give our announcements, we need to do the traditional thing and recognize some mothers in our service today. And it's always my pleasure to do this. You know, grateful, I'm sure. I'm grateful, as I'm sure you are grateful, for a wonderful mother. Mother that lived in such a way that you knew many times she was sacrificing for her children's sake. And I'm so very grateful. We want to take a couple minutes and recognize a few mothers in our midst today. And as I was standing there looking over these different categories, and I thought, well, as I'm looking around, I'm trying to figure out who fits where. I wrote these down. I didn't write them down just before I got here, so I've had these. But what I want to do is we want to acknowledge the oldest. Now, I know that's a toughie. The oldest mother in our midst. And I'm wondering, is there a mother here 100 years old? No mother's 100 years old. But I'm pretty sure there's a mother here that's 96 years old. That's Lee Robinson. Is there a mother here older than 96? Brother Curtis. And so appreciate Miss Lee. When she first came to Metropolitan, and her and Judy, she sat me down one Wednesday night after the service and gave me kind of her spiritual journey. And It just went out of my brain. Who was your first pastor, Lee? That's right, Jay Frank. I was wanting to say Lee Robertson for some reason. Jay, long ways to Tennessee, but Jay Frank Norris was her first pastor, and she was just a wee thing back then, of course. But amen. All right, second. Our newest mother. Now, last Sunday, we had two mothers with wee little ones here. And for whatever reason, neither one of them are here today. But a mother with a baby or a child that is less than a year old. Less than 2 years old. I know we got Leslie. yeah, maybe. Or those babies, those wee babies, kept them up all night. We take this to Miss Leslie Graham. Amen. How old is the little one now? 14 months. Amen. Then thirdly, well, let's do this one third. I think I know who this is. The mother with the most children in church this morning. Is anybody here with more than 9 children in church this morning? I think that's a, well, Miss Amanda Sims, Mrs. Amanda Sims. Appreciate the Sims family. Amen. And then this is one we do once in a while. Now, this is how a child honors their mother, okay? The mother with the child that came the farthest to spend Mother's Day in church with their mother. Do we have any travelers that came in this morning? Otherwise, it might just be somebody that came from the other side of Fort Worth. Amen. Well, is there anybody that traveled more than 25 miles to be with their mother in church today? Usually we have at least 2 or 3. Miss Judy usually has some kids that travel away. Not 20 miles. Somebody surely traveled 20 miles to be. Somebody got out of bed to get to church with their mother today? Who traveled 10 miles to get to church this morning to be with their mother? Nobody that traveled that far to be at church with their mother? Well, I'm going to throw that one out. We're going to do this one instead. Grandmas, your mothers too. You couldn't be a grandma without being a mama. Grandmother that has the most grandchildren. If anybody have more than, any of you ladies have more than 20 grandchildren? Imagine that at Christmas. You have 20. Well, praise the Lord. And tell me your name again.
Nancy.
Nancy. Take this back to Nancy. Amen. You got 20 grandkids. You deserve something. Amen. A great one in another year. Amen. Well, they're all great. Somebody was here. I'm trying to remember who it was. Had their their great-granddaughter with them last Sunday, and I thought all grandkids were great. We had the privilege of having a couple of our granddaughters here for the ladies' meeting Friday night, and even in conjunction with that, we thank everybody who worked so hard to make that banquet for our ladies a success, and it's always a blessing to see the ladies together and the fellowship and our privilege as men to serve them. You know, I'm doing something today that, as an independent Baptist preacher, it's like cutting against the grain. I mean, when you cancel a service, it means like it's like making me want to do convulsions. But my first pastor would call me a blooming liberal today, but he didn't cancel church. This was in Youngstown area of Ohio. We could have 6-8 inches of snow and we'd be running the church buses. We'd be out there trying to get them things started and running. He didn't cancel church. We went to church for 8 years. I don't know if he ever canceled a service once, no matter how much snow or anything. He says, the ones can get here will get here. But this evening we will not have service. With that, you have a responsibility. You do your mother good today, and you do sweet things for your mother. If your mother's not in town, you give your mother a call. If your mother's in glory, you make sure you thank the Lord for a great mother. Brother Curtis, you come.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your place, we'll go over a few announcements while we receive our offering, get ready to receive our offering. As the pastor already said, we won't have service this evening. And it's kind of funny when he was going through was talking about this. It happens every Mother's Day and every Easter, and you never know if it's going to be feast or famine. You know, everybody's coming in to see their mom, or everybody's going to go to see their mom. And it happens like that all the time. So we kind of a little on the opposite end this morning. This Saturday, is that right, Miss Marcia? This Saturday, the baby shower. Okay, this Saturday is the baby shower for Gabe and Isabel Bastille, and that's going to be at 2:00 in the pastor's class. And as he already said, thank y'all very much for everything y'all have done on making the ladies' event successful. and that was good. And the kindergarten class had the spring fling spring party. There you go. What time? It starts at 10:30. So the kindergarten class, if you and Miss, if the kids are in Miss Maysine's class, 10:30. So very good. At a picnic lunch, ants included. So all righty, let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you right now to be the offering about to receive, be the gift and the giver, Lord. Lord, the reason why we're here is to hear from you today, Lord, and be the preacher. Lord, hiding behind the cross. Lord, please, Lord, just prepare our hearts to receive it. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
While they get ready for the special, I wanted to mention something. Please, we understand the scriptures instruct us to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And there's a couple things really we need to be praying about for Jerusalem this week. Tomorrow, the United States will establish for the first time our embassy in the city of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel. But also, even as we meet here, I had a text from Bruce Martin about 9:30, quarter to 10, and they were on their way back to the city of Jerusalem from the Dead Sea, and were expecting to get back in time to their hotel to watch the service. So if you see a camera somewhere, you can wave to the Martins and the Evanses and say, have a good look. They're towards the end of their Lord's Day. But please do pray for the safety of Jerusalem tomorrow as this transition takes place. I believe the Martins and Evanses will be leaving Jerusalem and making their way north. I believe, if I remember the itinerary, tomorrow they'll be making their way towards Galilee. Ah, makes you jealous, don't it? Amen.
As a mother loves her child, fulfilling every need with a gentle touch and smile, such love is pure indeed. So our Savior loves each one who humbly kneels to pray. He who asks to be God's son will hear the Father say, I am your God on high. I will your needs supply as in a mother's love. My love I freely share. If you will ask of me, I will sufficient be, and through a
mother's love,
you'll learn of me.
Learn of me.
Only mother's voice can soothe the sorrows of the day. She can all the pain remove in such a tender way. God the Father hears our cry and comforts when we pray. All to him who will draw nigh will hear the Father say, I am your God.
I am your on God high. On high.
Supply. As in a mother's care.
Mother's care.
My love I freely share.
Freely share.
If you will ask,
if you will ask of me,
I will sufficient
be.
And through a mother's love.
Mother's love.
You'll learn of me.
Learn of me.
And through a mother's love.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Be turning, if you would, to John chapter 19. We won't get to this passage till later in this morning's message, but I wanted to begin here, read these verses. Of course, our theme for the year 2018 is following Jesus. So we've been trying to stay with, long before we even got to 2018, preaching from the Gospels, preaching on the Lord Jesus Christ and about the Lord Jesus Christ in specifically. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and dealing with the need of caring for his mother. And so if you found your place in John chapter 19, we'll begin reading in verse 25. Please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. All that are able. John chapter 19, verse 25. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for our Savior, of course. Thank you that we can come by this morning and just worship you as best we can, exalt you, to lift you up, to magnify you and your name above every name. And I'm thankful, Father, for the example your Son gives us. That love, that care for his own mother. Lord, as we look into these things today, I'm asking you to direct us, lead us, help us, Father, certainly. These dear folks gathered here today do not need to hear from some human preacher. And so, Father, I'm asking you to set the preacher aside and open your word to us today. And indeed, might we see Jesus in all his glory and all his honor. Lord, I'd ask you on behalf of those who may be here today without Christ as their Savior, would you draw them beautifully, savingly to yourself? In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, of course, may be seated. You know, I've been preaching a series of messages. We're just a couple chapters over in John chapter 21. And boy, I had a head of steam all up. I'm going to continue in that theme and along that line. And I thought, oh my, it's Mother's Day. I better do the dutiful thing and make sure I have a Mother's Day message. But I didn't have to go too far to find one. We certainly ought to be able to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can learn anything about anything, we can certainly look to him. look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. And in the New Testament, indeed, shares some things, tells us some things about the relationship of the Lord, this Jesus of Nazareth, and his mother, Mary. And we can look at some things that he says about motherhood in his lectures, his preaching, his sermons, and his teachings. And so we're going to take a brief time today, and you know when a preacher says that, look out. We're going to take some time today and look at this relationship, the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mother. And of course, Jesus teaches on some things about motherhood. And what he says includes, it's kind of inclusive, but we should make that clear, including parents in general, mothers and fathers, as he deals with this. And we'll see that even this first point, as Jesus does indeed honor motherhood. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 10, we'll look at Mark's words here and then from the same passage from Matthew in a few moments. But Jesus quotes the law of Moses. And he says in Mark chapter 7 and verse 10, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother." And he doesn't stop there. He includes what the warning of the law. "And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Now, I've heard a lot of politicians and so forth. They like to make fun of Bible-believing Christians. You know, that's the open sore. I mean, you always have liberty to mock or make fun of Bible-believing Christians. Can't make fun of most any other religion, but Christianity you can, especially evangelical Christianity, or as we would say, those who actually believe what the Bible says. And so oftentimes politicians will make fun of Christians in the Bible, even shame on them, and say, "Well, you can't take that Bible literally. After all, it says in the Old Testament that folks, if somebody makes fun of their parents or mocks their parents, you're supposed to stone them." Well, the instruction was certainly there. And why would such harsh instruction be there concerning parents, concerning fathers and mothers, to honor thy father and thy mother? Well, we need to understand the place that God had given to parenthood, and this role of parents and the responsibility of children to honor their parents. If a child does not learn to honor their parents, it's quite likely they'll have a hard time learning to honor God, the Heavenly Father. And so, yes, we see that those who would abuse, and the idea was those that would abuse their parents should be dealt with in this way. And so it gives us that very strong lesson, even as New Testament Christians that enjoy the grace of God, that we need to take seriously the honor of our parents. Jesus honors parenthood. And we find even in three of the Gospels, Jesus rehearses those words from the Ten Commandments, affirming our responsibility to honor a father and mother. And there does that. Now, we understand there does come that time in life as an adult child that we are to leave our father and mother, and as we would cleave unto that spouse, husband or wife, and we leave that home of our childhood behind. We're no longer to hold, no longer in that place of submission to a parent, but our responsibility to honor our parents never ceases. Never ceases. Our responsibility to hold our parents in honor is for all their lives. No, my father was not a Christian as we were growing up. And thankfully, praise the Lord, he got saved after we were all adults. But he wasn't a Christian. as we were growing up. And of course, he was from that same generation as Miss Lee Robinson back there. You know, he would be 95 if he was still alive. And but that generation had a different idea. Well, they might not have been Bible-believing Christians, but the Bible had such an impact on our society and culture that it embedded it in us kids, us four brothers and my sister, right smack dab in the middle, that we had better honor our mother. And if we ever dishonored our mother and he was anywhere around, well, we would certainly, let's just say we would regret it. We would regret any such thing. So we see Jesus honors motherhood, and we see in that passage and within the Ten Commandments, there was a protection. A protection, and Jesus gives that protection of motherhood as well. I want to read the passage or the identical passage from Matthew chapter 15, if you want to turn to that. In Matthew chapter 15, again, the Lord Jesus Christ, same instance that we read from Mark 7. He goes on, he says in Matthew 15 in verse 4, he says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death." Again, rehearsing how serious this is. But he had some opposition. It says, "But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift." Now, what is this about? What was going on? And there was this practice of you could dedicate everything you own to God. And so here, let me go on and read this. We'll explain a little more. "You would declare that this is a gift, and by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free." Now again, this was the tradition. You could claim this commitment, this dedication of your possessions to God. You wouldn't be free to honor your parents. "Thus," Jesus says, "thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites." There's a way to make yourself popular in the preaching. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." What's the difference between a commandment of God and the tradition of men? Well, the commandments of God are what we find here laid out for us in his word. Now, the Jews were just like many today, and we are susceptible as well, of putting in place traditions of our invention and then enforcing them either on a par with the Word of God or even see the Word of God superseded by our traditions. God had laid out the instruction for even adult children, for all children, to honor their father and their mother. Now, that word honor certainly included with it giving that right respect and reverence to our parents. But it also included the idea of supporting them or caring for them when they have need, when they get to that place in life where they need someone to look out for them. Well, this ugly, horrible practice, this tradition developed and made up by men began to be popular even in Jesus's day, where you could, quote unquote, dedicate what you own, your possessions, to the Lord. And when it came that time when your parents, father or mother, needed your help, "Well, I'm sorry, Mom. I've dedicated everything I have to God. I can't help you." And Jesus is saying, essentially, he's saying, "Shame on you. Shame on you for laying aside, setting aside the Word of God in favor of your traditions, which were nothing more but to take care of your greed. Well, we see Jesus honors motherhood. He honors it, but he also protects motherhood. Amen. And I'm thankful for his instruction in these things. As well, thirdly, we see that Jesus had a priority, gave a priority of motherhood. His priority of motherhood. You can turn to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, it's a very interesting passage. Stick with me on this. Matthew chapter 12, we'll begin reading here in verse 46. The Lord Jesus is teaching in a certain place. He's got a group of folks there. And it says in verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. Talking about his brothers, his physical brothers, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Well, we see a priority laid out here. And as we say, it's rather interesting. But please take note that nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ says here in any way disparages his mother. He's not in any way trying to lessen her place in his heart and life. He's taking advantage of the opportunity to speak of that spiritual brotherhood that is ours in Christ, that is ours in him. And so don't get the idea that somehow he's disparaging his mother or in some way lessening our responsibility to our parents and certainly our mothers. We do see something here, though. We see that there is priorities in I'll use this word, in God's economy and how he does things. For the believer, who's to come first in our lives? Our God is to come first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with how much of your heart? All your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So we see that the priority is to be the Lord. And as we've said, I think last week or the week before, when we love God with everything that we are, and he is that ruling principle in our heart and in our life and our love, then we'll love our children the way we ought to love them. We'll love our spouse. We'll love our mother the way we should love. And that love for others will be escalated. It'll be exalted and much greater, much purer, much more Christ-like than it ever could be otherwise. Indeed, finding that priority is really raises and heightens that love for others. Now there is, just to touch on this, there is an error of some groups in trying to explain away along the some strains of Christianity try to explain away that Jesus had siblings. Well, this passage is certainly disproves that. In fact, if you turn over to the very next chapter, we see the Lord Jesus is preaching in his own country, in his own area, probably somewhere either in Nazareth or close by. And we read in verse 53 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, it came to pass, and when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Remember the Lord Jesus speaking of how a prophet is not without honor, save where? In his own country, amongst our own kinfolk. It's sometimes the hardest to reach. And these folks that were knew him best, they, how in the world did he come by all this knowledge and understanding? And they go on in verse 55, and he says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is this not Joseph's son? Is not this his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Well, as we read that passage, it gives the names of his half-brothers. Now, his neighbors did not understand that Joseph was not the Lord Jesus Christ's biological father. But they knew who lived in that household, did they not? His neighbors knew who was members of that household, and they named the brothers, Jesus' brothers, to them. And we understand they were half-brothers. They were Mary's other sons. Now we find a lesson here. Submit to the Bible. Just submit to the Bible and what it says. Don't try to invent things. It's His Word, and we don't need to take away from His clear teaching, even in these things. Well, we see some general things about Jesus, His teaching on motherhood, parenthood. But we also see in the Scriptures some things about His relationship to His mother. Jesus and His mother. Now, just as every child would be, we find His dependence. Jesus' dependence on His mother. Not again, as the false teachers would say, that even today we can go to His mother to get to Jesus. That's not the idea, and hopefully we'll see that, and that's not what we're saying. But in Matthew chapter 2, Jesus is just a wee babe. In verse 11, Matthew chapter 2, in verse 11, it says this. It says, and when they were come to the house, speaking of the Magi, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, why do you read that verse? Because it shows us that Jesus was where? With his mother. With his mother. Skip down, verse 13. It says, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Arise, the angel said, and take the young child and his mother. The link between Jesus and his mother. Verse 14, and when he arose, Joseph, that is, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Drop down with me to verse 20 of that chapter. And there we read the angel of the Lord appears again in a dream to Joseph, verse 19. It says, and saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he, Joseph, arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Wow. As a babe, the Lord Jesus could no more be separated from his mother than any other we babe could be separated from their mother. And when Joseph is warned by this angel concerning the child's safety and the instruction to take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And so the obvious is before us. Jesus was dependent on his mother. Interesting, isn't it? He's God the Son and the Son of God. That did not change the fact that a child is a babe. His dependence on his mother. But turn over to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. Here we see Jesus' subjection. What's that mean? that Jesus submitted to his mother. Chapter 2 of Luke and verse 41. Now this is that time. Jesus is now 12 years old, and they've made that visit to the city of Jerusalem, and with all the celebration that was going on, and Joseph and Mary leave with the rest of that caravan they were part of, and Jesus had remained in the city. It says in verse 41, Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, the Jewish scholars, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they, his parents, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee, sorrowing. Imagine the panic. Jerusalem is a city, a huge city today. But in this time, it was maybe a city of a couple hundred thousand. Somewhere in that neighborhood, especially during the time of the feast, there'd be many, many more people coming and going. Imagine the terror that would be on our hearts today if one of our children came up missing in a big city. Wow. They were sorrowing. Verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Please notice in verse 48, the word father's small m. Speaking of Joseph, his stepfather. But in verse 49, when Jesus rehearses to his parents that I must be about my Father's business, it is capital F. Speaking of his true father. His heavenly Father. Oh my. Verse 50. They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now it's not saying that Joseph and Mary had any question about Jesus' true lineage. They knew he had been miraculously conceived, supernaturally conceived of the Holy Ghost. They knew that. It was only 12 years ago that they'd gone through all that. But what he was saying to them certainly baffled them in the midst of their sorrowing, their fear for him. Verse 51, it says, And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and notice, and was subject unto them, Joseph and Mary, his mother. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Wow. When all is said and done, after his time with those doctors in the temple, in that amazing temple, of course, the place of his father's presence, his father's house. And after the 3 days of searching for him and worrying about him, Joseph and Mary, of course, finally find him there in the temple. Mary's heart, I'm sure it was beating so hard in her chest, she couldn't fathom. And yet, those memories, the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ, I should say, this statement of the Lord is baffling to her. But I do get this. something I want us to take note of. It says that he returned with them to Nazareth and continued in subjection to them. Joseph and Mary. May well be, I just want to add this, may well be that Joseph was quite a bit older than Mary. We see nothing of Joseph by the time that the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry begins. It's quite possible and probable that Joseph is already in glory at that time. But I want to make sure our young people hear this. Every young person, and those of us that might not be quite so young, do you think you're smarter than mom and dad? I was a teenager. I know this may baffle you. Don't look at me that way, Ricky. This may be very surprising. I was once a teenager. You're sitting there like you don't believe it. You're older than dirt, preacher. How could you have been a teenager? Well, I really was once. And I understand. There's something about turning 13. Suddenly, you're the smartest person on two legs. Nothing mom or dad can say. Oh, that's so ridiculous. You don't know anything. You don't understand. Well, you've never said that, have you? I'm giving you the opportunity to say no. And then I'm looking at your parents. You just don't understand. You ever said that? Now he's afraid not to be honest. I can see your dad and mom right there. Huh? You just don't understand. Well, believe it or not, your parents were teenagers once too. If you can believe I was a teenager once, you ought to be able to believe your parents were teenagers. But something clicks and we think we're smarter than anybody else, and we're certainly smarter than mom and dad. What do they know? Well, you need to listen to this. Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Would you say he was probably pretty smart? Jesus Christ had the wisdom and knowledge of God. Yes, he grew as a child into adulthood. But he's God. He had baffled the religious scholars of the temple with his understanding and his grasp of Scripture. And yet, he returned to the house and submitted himself to his mother and father. How long? Well, he was 12 years old when this took place. I'm going to say he submitted himself to his parents, his stepfather Joseph and his mother, until adulthood. Why do you get that? Because he always did what's right. Period. Jesus did what's right and gives that example. Teenagers, young people, honor your parents. Honor your mother in this as well. Wow, I'm sure it went on through his years. Notice those words once again. Verse 51, the words of Mary. It says she kept all these sayings in her heart. She kept all those sayings. Mary was just like any other mother. She's like any other mother. The great events in her child's life are never forgotten. A mother never forgets those things. They're permanently etched in her, in the mind of her heart, if you will, if that even makes sense. She's mindful of these events all the days of her life. The memories of her child. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus? Can you imagine the treasure trove of memories that she would have watching the Lord Jesus Christ grow up? We're just given a glimpse. Huh? Just a glimpse. Well, we also see another very interesting passage at the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry in the Gospel of John in chapter 2. Gospel of John chapter 2. Oh my, try to hurry this along. This is the record of that first miracle. The first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a marriage taking place in Cana of Galilee. And Mary's there. And Jesus and his disciples are invited to this wedding. But they have a problem, and I'll try to summarize it to save a little time. Yeah, they have a problem, if you recall. They had run out of wine. They didn't have enough wine to go around. Don't know what was going on. Maybe they had, do you think it's possible they had some party crashers? I don't know. More people showed up than they were expecting. It kind of happened to us Friday night, where the caterer was great, you know, and all that, and they brought they even brought us water as well as sweet and unsweet tea, and that's great. But along the way, we started seeing the tea jugs were running low, and so we put some tea water on the stove, and when Curtis had to run to the store on emergency run, so us guys could have something to eat, he says, "You want me to get some more tea?" And I said, "Yeah." I mean, sometimes your planning just doesn't take everything in. And it seems that Mary was involved somehow in the serving of the guests. And she goes to her son. That's a natural thing to do. When you're having an issue, you're having a problem, what do? You go to family. And the Lord, and Mary goes to her firstborn son who's attending the wedding. And as we look at this, she tells him what's going on. And it says in verse 3, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him," unto Jesus, "they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And then very simply, his mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now we'll cut it there for time. But now, understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in any way rebuking his mother. We got to understand that. Again, Jesus is never going to do what's wrong. How often had he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother"? He's not going to dishonor in any way his dear mother. And he says unto her, "What do I have to do with thee?" Now, it sounds like he's trying to put her off a bit, but I don't believe that for more. I believe it's more of a statement than a rebuke. After all, he's not the master of this wedding celebration. He's not in charge of this. And it's certainly not his place to take upon himself to provide wine for the guests. And notice he says, "Mine hour is not yet come." The time for the initiation of his public ministry. Be mindful, Mary's watched him for 30 years. Now again, I don't want to read anything into the Word of God. You know, I don't want to ever do that. But she knows what he's capable of. She wouldn't have asked him otherwise. She's asking Jesus for help based on what she knows. And he says, "Mine hour is not yet come." But notice, he honors his mother. He still honors his mother in this. He instructs the servants based upon what she just said. Remember, what did she say? "Whatsoever he saith unto you to do, do it." And so Jesus, in what seems to be a rather quiet way, gives that instruction, and the need is met. Now, just a side note. I love Mary's words. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Memorize that. Please memorize. A pretty tough verse, isn't it? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You ever have any question about whether you should obey God? Just do it. Whether you should obey the word of God? Just do it. Just do what God says. And you'll not go wrong. You'll not go wrong. Now, with all that said, Jesus, as we just said, honors his mother. Honors his mother's request quietly, privately, provides to the servants for the feast. It tells me that Jesus had a heart for his mother. He wanted to do for his mother. He had a reverence for his mother. But I do say this. Who received the glory for what was done? Look at verse 11. In verse 11, we read, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Remember who else was at that wedding? His disciples. John was there. That's how come we know about this. John recorded it. He witnessed it. And even though the Lord Jesus Christ did not do it in any way to get attention for himself or fanfare to himself, why? Wasn't time for that yet. We know about it because after the fact, John recorded it for our information so that we would know. And Jesus said, what's it say? And manifested forth his glory. And his disciples, those ones following him, those that were already following him, believed. Believed him. Wow. Well, got a little ways to go. We also see Jesus' provision for his mother. We go back to where we started. We go back to John chapter 19. Jesus' provision for his mother. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, beginning in verse 25. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, imagine that, him hanging there on that ugly, horrible cross, looking down and seeing his dear mother. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. Now, be mindful. What's going on? The gravity of the situation. The Lord Jesus Christ is hanging on that horrible, ugly cross, tortured, in agony, bearing our sin on himself. In the spiritual, which I believe far outweighed the physical torture. He's still mindful of his mother. He doesn't forget his own earthly mother. Wow. It's a very personal. It's very touching. And due to the circumstances, beloved, it's very intense. A very intense exchange that goes on here. This disciple spoken of, we believe that's none other than the author of the Gospel of John. John himself. John. And notice that it says that that disciple then took Mary under his headship, his home. She became his responsibility to take care of his master's mother. Wow. We're living in days, and I just want to mention this. But we're living in days when parents are forgotten quite often. go to a nursing home, and you'd be surprised if you asked the people, the staff there, how many folks never get visits in the nursing home. It'd astound you. Parents, young, adult children, consumed with their own lives, doing their own things and forsaking. And I realize we're not living in a quote-unquote Christian society like it once was. But that love for parents, or the lack of that love for parents, is another sign of the times. The last days, is it not right? Ephesians chapter 6, and again, such a familiar passage to us. Very quickly, we'll be done here in a moment. Paul writes to that church, believers, Christians, there in Ephesus. And he says unto them those very simple words, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. This is the right thing to do. Honor, he says, thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first commandment given that had a promise attached to it. That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Tremendous. Beloved, God will bless those who take good care of their parents. It just is the way God does things. God will stay true to himself. He'll stay true to his word when he promises that if you will take care of your parents rightly, he will bless you for it. And you'll enjoy a long life. Amazing. Wow. I've always believed, based on this promise, that those that have lived into their 90s and beyond must have been good to their parents, because God blessed them with a multitude of days. Miss Lee, you must have been good to your mom and dad. Well, what do we learn from these things for our lives today? On the foundation of these truths, beloved, we can please our God. The Lord Jesus Christ had a loving and, I believe, a very precious relationship with his mother. We learn that from his conception on all the way to his death, as we just read, in many ways, he had a normal relationship with his mother. But in other ways, it was indeed a very extraordinary relationship with his mother. Mary indeed was a very special lady, blessed of God to be the mother of our Savior. Elizabeth, notice, remember Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias and the mother of John the Baptist. She said to Mary, blessed art thou among women. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mary was blessed. Jesus Christ, the fruit of Mary's womb, would one day hang on that cross of Calvary. He hung there, why? To pay the price of our sins. To pay the wages of our sins. But beloved, and I don't know to what extent Mary is able to put all this together. I believe she understood somewhat, because she'd had the benefit of these messages, these instructions from the angels. Now I don't know just all she understood, but all these things coming together in her heart to this time. This time of what we just read. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, tell us that she understood somewhat of it. Remember these words? As she speaking back to her cousin Elizabeth, she says, Mary now says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Wow. Mary acknowledged that. Now, be mindful of the time, the place, and the circumstance. The unborn child still in Mary's womb. And she's giving God glory for her Savior. Astounding, isn't it? She bore in her womb the one who would pay the price of her sin. Amazing. Amazing. Wow. We do right, beloved. We do right to emphasize that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, but we do well to remember as well the example of his relationship to his own mother. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I want to challenge you again. Every person in this room who's blessed, if you're blessed to still have your mother on this side of glory, please do right by her. I could tell you so many stories of my little mama. She's just a little thing. I'm not going to do that. Those stories are only special to me. But if your mother was like my mother, she probably sacrificed quite a bit for you. Huh? I remember my mama wearing those old clothes while she made sure we had nice things to wear to school. Huh? I remember her getting up hours before we did in the morning, making sure everything was ready for my dad to go off to work and us off to school. She did that every day. If your mother's still alive, I plead with you. Honor her. Honor her. Yes, out of obedience to God, but honor her out of love for a mother. Out of a mother, the mother that the God of glory was pleased to give you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we bow before you today and we're thanking you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the lessons we can learn from him. Lord, even in this matter of our relationship to our mothers. Lord, I know, even as I preach these things concerning Mary and even my own fond memories of my mother, that I'm sure there's some in this room that did not have that privilege of enjoying a great relationship with their mother, their earthly mother. But I'm thankful, Father, that the God of glory is able to enter in and do beautiful and amazing things. Do things in our hearts and in our lives that really can't be explained or understood other than the God of glory has done a change and done a work in our hearts. Father, I'm praying today for every mother in this room. We've not really talked about the responsibilities of mothers at all today. But Lord, I pray for every mother in this room. Bless them, Father. Would you bless them? Would you be pleased to do for every mother in this room? Lord, I'm praying for every child in this room, young or old, that has a mother that's still alive on this earth planet. Lord, please work in those hearts, work in those lives. Pray that you would enlarge and give that desire in every heart to rightly honor our parents. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Brother John.
161.
Not really preached the gospel today, but yet indeed we certainly preached the crucified Christ. Even as he did hang there on that ugly, horrible cross, paying the price of our sin. As we said, he was mindful of his mother. His own mother needed him as her Savior. My friend, please understand you need Jesus as your Savior. And if there's anyone here today that doesn't have that peace, that assurance that Christ is their Savior, we're here for you. Point you to Jesus, pray with you, show you what the Bible says. As we sing, please, as Mary said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you to do, do it. Do it. Obey the Lord, brother.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Amen. You know, I was feeling bad about preaching too long, but then I remembered, you're not coming back tonight. I should have gave you a double dose.
Amen.
Well, Brother Curtis is going to come. He's got something he wants to share with the church. And so, Brother Curtis, I couldn't have set you up better than I have, I don't think. You come.
Well, I'll be short and sweet. I know we need to beat the Methodist over to the Olive Garden and everything else. As you all know, we've had to make several trips back and forth to Mississippi to help take care of Teresa's mom. Well, it's become evident that we need to move there. So the end of June, our time here will be ended. So I just want to say thank you. It's been good. And it's just God's timing. I think I've said it before and I'll say it again. God moved us here. And we've said a lot, many times, God's going to have to move us away. Well, I think that's what's happening. I know that's what's happening. God is moving us again. And it's been a blessing here for us. And, well, I look forward to what he has down the road for us. So, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Curtis. And obviously, as he shared that, they're obeying what we were talking about today, honoring Teresa's mother and taking care of her in her time of need. It's got to that place. And so, of course, they've got about 6 weeks or so with us, but we wanted to have that. You know, so I wanted everybody to know what's going on. So we've been praying for them. They've got a lot to do between now and then. And we've got some things to do as far as some transition and so forth. And appreciate your prayers and all of that. Please, please pray for the Grahams as they make this move. I'm certainly going to miss them. And got very, very close to them over these last going on, I guess, over 7 years now, going on 8 years that we've been working together. And it's certainly been a blessing to me. And so you pray for them. And again, when they explained to me a week or so ago what was going on, they're doing what they ought to do. They're doing the right thing. And we understand exactly and completely. So you pray for them. Brother John, come.
We'll be dismissed with our chorus, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, He leadeth me, for by his hand he leadeth me. A faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
You're dismissed.